Welcome back to the Karen Conti Show. On Friday, the Minneapolis City Council approved a $27 million civil settlement with the family of George Floyd over the man's death in police custody last year. And with us to discuss the settlement is one of Floyd family attorneys, Tony Romanucci from the Chicago law firm of Romanucci and Blandin. Hi, Tony. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good afternoon, Karen. I'm doing well. Hope you're well, too.
Now, what family members do you represent?
So first of all, we represent the trustee in the case. The trustee was appointed as the main plaintiff, somebody who oversees the litigation. And then, of course, we represented all of the next of kin except for one family member. So we represented well over 10 next of kin in this family.
Okay. And where... How does a settlement like this get negotiated? I mean, this was probably a very unusual situation because of the high-profile nature of what was going on. But can you just give our listeners just a view from a legal standpoint, from a lawyer's standpoint in a case like this? How do you broach the topic and who are you speaking with?
Well, it's a very high-level question, Karen. There's so much that goes into, you know, the settlement of a case like this, but I can tell you that it was a very long, protracted negotiation. It involved literally dozens of meetings between the lawyers, the people in Minneapolis, countless letters and emails and phone calls and sit-downs. And it takes a long time. They were very protracted, long, difficult negotiations. But it is very typical in these sort of negotiations. Once it happens very quickly. It's like all of a sudden someone just lifts up the door to that dam and the water comes gushing out and it's over. So, you know, we knew that we had settled the case with Minneapolis about 10 days ago. But it had to be kept confidential for so many reasons. And I have to hand it to, you know, not only the legal team, but also the Floyd family members for keeping this, you know, very tightly wrapped, keeping the bow on it until it was ready to be released to the public, which was on Friday.
So where does the money come from? The $27 million in settlement, does that come from the police department, the city, or is there insurance money for this type of thing?
Well, what's very typical in municipalities is that municipalities have control over police departments. And when I say that is that they control their budgets. For example, in Chicago, you know, the Chicago Police Department's budget is close to $2 billion per year. That comes out of City of Chicago, you know, Department of Finance revenue. And the same thing in Minneapolis. Except their budget is under $200 million. It's a much smaller budget. It's one-tenth the size of that of Chicago's. And then the Minneapolis city budget is somewhere around $1 billion. Now, Minneapolis is different than Chicago in that they are considered a very, very good credit risk. They have an A to an A-plus credit rating, and they've been very fiscally responsible over the years. So they actually had the money for this. This will all be self-insured money, and Minneapolis has assured the taxpayers that not 1 cent of this will be taxed back to its citizens.
Now, I'm going to take the devil's advocate here, and there are people, and I've heard them on the street saying, yeah, the police were wrong in this case. It was really a horrible thing. No one deserves to die. But why all this money? Does this family deserve it? And is this the right thing to do? How do you respond to that?
Now, there's no question, Karen. And you know, look, it's a fair question because, you know, we have to play devil's advocate. We have to hear both sides. But let me say this, and I've said this, you know, I said this yesterday to somebody else, too. You know, we saw that video. Everybody has seen that video. Everybody now knows George Floyd, you know, was tortured and executed on a Minneapolis city street for close to 9 minutes. They saw what he went through. But I will tell you, I've been with this family, I can't not even tell you on how many countless occasions. And they are tortured every day, all of them. They all feel their own personal sense of torture, knowing that one of their dear loved ones was brutally slaughtered on a street like this. Nobody got the chance to say goodbye to him. Nobody had the chance to comfort him. This man died, you know, his last breathing words were "Mama." And it's beyond sad. This is what the definition of tragic is. So is $27 million a lot of money? Yes, it is. It is. However, when you consider, first of all, the number of family members who are going to be a part of this settlement and the torture that they will undergo and that they have undergone every day, this is how our Seventh Amendment works. This is how civil justice works. It works by making people whole and compensating them. And that's the best answer I can give you, and it is the right answer.
Well, and I think the other part of it is there's no other way to compensate somebody. I mean, certainly there's the criminal case going on, and we'll talk maybe for a minute about that, but we don't have any other means to compensate people. I mean, you know, an apology, you know, is, and I'm sure that's probably been done, but the money, it's really all we have as, you know, when we sue people, we, you know, some people are angry, right? And you get people who come to you and they want you to somehow make it better. But the only way we can get to make it better is to show it by giving money.
Well said, and that's exactly what I meant by the Seventh Amendment. That's the right to civil jury trial. Our system of democracy allows for people to receive money when they've been hurt. That's what happens in courtrooms all across this country, and that can't be said anywhere else in the world but this country, the United States of America. That's how it's designed to work. But think of the importance of the amount of money, Karen, and maybe you're going to get to it. But this really does send, I think, an important message to the communities out there and the activists. And this is for both sides. It doesn't matter which side you're on. This is an indication that people's lives do matter, that Black lives matter, that Brown lives matter. You cannot just take advantage of somebody on a city street because they were passing a $20 bill, which is the allegation, and then kill them slowly, choking their breath away. This is an important message out there that this man's life mattered. He was a spark to his family. He may have had his problems in the past, but they don't look at that. They remember the George Floyd that they loved.
And, you know, I think that's one of the beautiful things about doing the work that you do, Tony, because you handle class action suits, the red light cases, the ComEd. You've got a case right now pending against ComEd relating right to maybe some of the bribes that were going on and how it affected the consumers. So when you bring these lawsuits, it's about money, and that's one way to look at it, but it's really about your lobbying for a change. And sometimes companies, municipalities, police departments don't change unless they get hit with a huge verdict. And sometimes it takes that for the wake-up call to happen. And, you know, one of the things that I see all the time with these wrongful conviction cases, people say, so what, someone was wrongfully convicted. Well, you should care, because if you look at the taxpayer dollars that have gone to people who are wrongfully convicted due to police brutality and misconduct and all kinds of other things, you know, it's taking money out of your kids' schoolyards, basically.
Absolutely. I mean, think about what you just said. People getting tortured in order to extort a confession out of them and then spending, let's say, 20 years in jail. That is beyond significant and impactful. And those people, those poor people who suffered as a result of torture in order to get a confession out of them, deserve to be compensated. Absolutely, no doubt.
I have time for one very quick question. As the settlement was approved, the jury was being selected in the criminal case. Was this timing intentional?
No, not at all. And like what I said earlier, you know, sometimes, you know, these things take so long, and then all of a sudden it just happens that quickly. And when it happens, it does. And the only coincidence that exists is that the Minneapolis City Council had their monthly meeting on March 12th. So they wanted to get this done. Minneapolis, the city of Minneapolis was just as excited to get this done. And what I mean by that is they really wanted the pressure off of themselves. So we have no control when the Minneapolis City Council meets.
Got
Those
it.
Are designated meetings.
Tony, I'm going to really have to say goodbye here. I want to say that Romanucci and Blandon has a long history of representing plaintiffs, and I will post your contact information on the website.